Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
What is it about the holidays that makes people want to think about model trains, whether it's trains in department store windows or trains under the Christmas tree or going to Pittsburgh to see the Carnegie Science Center layout? And of course, people in the Mon Valley have known for 75 years now that you don't have to go all the way to downtown Pittsburgh. You can be much closer to home and visit the trains at the McKeesport Model Railroad Club, which is celebrating its 75th anniversary this year. And I should disclose, I am a member of the club. It will be open Saturdays and Sundays now through Christmas. With us this morning is George Sharp. He's the president of the club. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
And also with us is Steve Wraith. He's the vice president. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you? I am good. So we are down here at the club, and this is kind of a busy time.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Guys,
certainly is.
How long does it take you to take this down and put it up every year?
That is a question we get every year, at least from a few attendees. It's something you smile at because it just, you know, we can't fathom how long would it take to do something like that. But yes.
You should describe it for people because it's a permanent building. It is on Walnut Street in the Christie Park section of McKeesport, and it is about how large, 40 by 80 feet?
Well, 2,200 square feet is...
2,200 square feet.
Okay. Yes, larger than Buell Planetarium.
Okay.
We always like to, and because people have seen Buell Planetarium, they can kind of picture that in their mind, then they wow, bigger. You know, that's that really attracts them there.
This has been an eventful year for the McKeesport Model Railroad Club. You were on the cover of a national magazine. Tell us about that.
Yes, we've had a team here that really worked really well. Steve could probably speak a whole lot more than I can, but yeah, Steve, why don't you speak upon that since you kind of spearheaded that whole project?
Yeah, we were in a nationally published magazine, internationally actually, Model Railroader Magazine, where we made the cover and the main inside spread of the magazine itself. And it was a couple months process to write the article and get all the photos taken. But the article covers celebrating our 75th anniversary. It goes through the history of the club. A little bit about that background is the club started off in 1947, as near as we can tell.
All right.
And it was
probably a lot of guys coming back from World War II, huh?
Probably. I think that was it. And they were looking to form a club. It was a bunch of like-minded folks who were in a local hobby shop here in McKeesport. And they kind of got together and they took out a newspaper ad asking if anybody else within the area wanted to join them, start up a club. And on February 1st of 1950, the club was officially founded. So that's how it got its starts and its origins. And then from there, a few years later after that, they moved into a disused section, or I guess it was a second floor of the Pennsylvania Railroad Station, freight station that used to be in McKeesport, right along Lyle Boulevard on the main drag. They were there for many years until probably about 1964, 65, somewhere in that neighborhood. They were notified that the mill was going to expand and they were taking over that property. So the station...
That seems very rude.
Yes, the station that they were in ended up getting bulldozed.
Yeah.
And the club went without a home for a few years. Sections of it were saved and ended up in people's homes, in their basements, wherever they could fit it to try to save. They still had meetings. They would still meet as a group during that time until they found another location. And they were in multiple places. They were in Dravosburg for a while. They were in Coulter for a while. I'm trying to think of the other locations.
Yeah, there's...
There was multiple locations that the club had been in over the years. So our Christie Park location came about in 1986 when... the club itself had gotten tired of building these very elaborate layouts and train displays and getting kicked out of buildings and having to tear it all down and start all over again somewhere else.
How frustrating that must have been, especially for some of the longtime guys, that every time they got settled and they got something that was near completion, to lose the building.
Yeah.
I have some films of when the layout was being built and so forth in some of its original formats, and just the work and the craftsmanship that goes into that is just, it has got to be very frustrating to go, okay, we've got to pick this up and move it somewhere else now. I can only imagine.
George Sharp is president of the McKeesport Model Railroad Club. Steve Rake is vice president. Their show, as you are hearing this, is ongoing now Saturdays and Sundays. George, why don't you give us the times and the hours?
Saturdays and Sundays all through the month of December, and is from 12:30 to 6:30 p.m.
Okay, and the club is located at
2209 Walnut, is it street or
street.
Avenue? Street, Walnut Street, McKeesport, PA.
And is there a website for more information?
Yes, yes. Facebook and our website is www.mckeesportmodelrr.com. You can find our hours out there. You can even see pictures of the layout and see if you, you know, if you have an interest in coming in. A lot of people that look at those pictures, they want to see the real thing.
What have been some of the ups and downs? Because I think with any group, whether it's a church group, scout group, nonprofit group, you have your ups and downs. And as Steve was saying, some of the downs were losing buildings several times. But has interest kind of gone up and down over the years?
Oh, certainly, certainly. Interest in the hobby itself, along with the membership itself. It was, when I arrived here, which was, you know, we're talking 10, 11 years ago now, the membership was at an all-time low, and there was a consideration of, hey, this we can't continue with this. Yeah. We've come from that to now being in the Model Railroader magazine, and I put that out to all of our members and the right folks that were sitting on the board of directors as well.
You are a nonprofit.
Yes, that's correct.
But that does not mean that electricity is free, natural gas is free, you pay property taxes to the local school district, and
yes.
Nonprofit does not mean no expenses.
Correct, correct. Okay. We're not at the federal level. Federal level, we don't pay anything, but the local level, we cannot be excused from those taxes due to just the McKeesport tax base itself. So we do have to pay all of our school taxes, and the open house is a huge help with that, covers those costs, and allows us to have fun with the trains.
We're talking to folks from the McKeesport Model Railroad Club, which is having its annual holiday open house, and as we sort of joked at the beginning, you don't take this up and put this down every year, but there are certain times of the year when the club is open to the public.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
And this is the main time of the year.
Yes.
It is, yeah. The club historically is open to the public, and all the different iterations of it over the years, they've had open houses. We have a lot of, if you come and visit the club, we do have some historic photographs here, and we do have a TV screen that we run some old video on of different things that we've had at the club over the years. So it's a kind of a walk down memory lane. It's definitely had an impact on the community, because we have people that have come in here. They remember coming to the club in the 50s as children, and now they're bringing their grandkids to come and visit the club and see, and they still talk about all the trains, and they remember a lot of stuff.
But you've had some second generation and third generation members as well. You have a member, Dwayne Falk, whose father was very instrumental in the club years ago, Art Falk.
Yes, he was. He actually, Art Falk, his father scratch built the entire steel mill scene that we have on the layout. It's 90% of what's in that whole scene, which is pretty elaborate. It takes up the center aisle of our whole display. It was all scratch built in the 80s by his father. But scratch built, I mean, it was all built by hand.
Yeah.
All little tiny pieces all put together.
There are some kits now for steel mill stuff, but at the time he was doing it, he was making it out of raw materials, out of plastic and brass and wood and whatever else. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's amazing to see all the little details in there, to think all that stuff was all carved out by hand, you know, and assembled into what you visually see as a steel mill. And it's kind of interesting too, because it's our layout itself is not, it's not modeled after any particular location, but we have a whole bunch of areas on it that are specific to like certain buildings. There's a bunch of buildings in our city that are from McKeesport's past. We're not modeling the city of McKeesport, but it's familiar enough that you recognize it. The Jerome Street Bridge is on our layout, and that's very familiar to people, and it has a railroad bridge right next to the Jerome Street Bridge. So it kind of, it gives you the feel that you're in the local area. So it's
an alternative universe if you're a comic book fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
It's a mirror universe.
It certainly is, but it definitely gives the whole feeling of it, of the overall layout being in Western Pennsylvania, which is our whole target. It's fictional, but yet there's a lot of realism in it. The steel mill for itself, the blast furnace is Cary Furnace, which you can go visit and tour down in Rankin, PA. The tube works is reminiscent of what was here in McKeesport at one time. So it kind of, it's almost like stepping into a little slice of history when you're looking at all these miniatures, because they're modeled after real locations. It's just not, it's sort of an amalgamation of everything kind of jammed together, so to speak, to create this miniature world that you can come and visit.
And we should mention some of the noise in the background. We are interrupting while you guys are getting ready for the show.
Yes.
It opens up in just a couple of days. There's people here trying to, you know, do the last minute
testing and prepares. Yep.
Making mm-hmm. sure everything is working for when the public comes in. We have to take a break here in about 30 seconds, but how many members of the public will be through during the show, roughly?
Well, if going from our previous year's numbers and so forth, we have about 1,000 at an average coming through here.
Okay.
And they come from all over. It's amazing some of the distances that we have.
George Sharp and Steve Wraith are our guests this morning. They are the president and vice president, respectively, of the McKeesport Model Railroad Club, which is open Saturdays and Sundays now through the end of December. You can find them on Facebook or go to McKeesportRR.com. And we are on location this week at the club. You're listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Steve Wraith and George Sharp are our guests this morning. We're on location with them at the McKeesport Model Railroad Club, which is having its annual holiday train show. I guess actually it's also its 75th anniversary of its holiday train show. The club is celebrating. You may have seen it if you frequent hobby stores, or you may have seen it on the cover of the Model Railroader magazine this year.
That was the second time since 1964
yes.
or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. Yes.
So all you have to do is wait another 61 years and then you'll be in there again? Is that how that works?
We'll try. We'll try.
Okay. Let me start with, I'm going to ask both of you the same questions, but let me ask Steve first. How did you get into this hobby? When did this first pique your interest?
My parents claim I was in the car carrier in the back seat of their car, going woo-woo choo-choo in the back of the car anytime we came near train tracks.
Well, yeah, you were 21 years old. That was
yeah,
no, I'm
yeah.
Teasing you. But yeah.
But yeah, it's I think it's just been a lifelong hobby. I'm not sure how anyone really gets into it. It's like anything else. You have guys that are into like hot rods and cars and that kind of thing. And I think there's ham radios, there's airplane guys, you've got the RC car guys, and there's train guys. So I think, and I should say, and women, because we do have female members here at the club as well. A lot of people associate model railroading either with younger kids or the older retired group.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about our group here is our average age here is probably under the age of 35 on our membership.
Let me digress for a minute before I ask you, George, about how you got into the hobby, because I had the folks from the Two Rivers Amateur Radio Club on this show in June. And I mentioned to them what I have noticed is more and more young people getting into that hobby after a long period of, it seemed like it was older and older men, and more young women getting into that hobby. And the theory, and I'll ask you both if you think this is true, is that things like FIRST Robotics, like Lego Mindstorm, Maker Spaces, Arduino, Raspberry Pi, has gotten young people into making stuff again. Do you think that's possible?
I agree with that completely. One of the things, like, you know, when I got into model railroading, and I kind of, like everybody does when we get in teenage years,
yeah,
we kind of fall out of it. And I became a computer, computer programmers,
yeah,
with that. And what happened was is the model railroading began to meet the computer programming,
yeah,
world, and now you have all these sights and sounds and, you know, all these things you could do with digital world. And I think that has really brought the youth back in, because they're like, wow, we could program this stuff to make this noise or to do this or to do that. So I think that's been a draw, definitely.
Well, and I'm going to ask you about, you know, computer gaming in a second, but you can take the computer virtual space and turn it into the 3D real world space. Like,
yes,
you know, you're not just making something virtual in Minecraft or in a sim. You are actually doing it on the screen, and then it's happening in real life. And that's what I have heard from younger people who have gotten into ham radio, for instance, that that's the appeal for them.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, let me ask you that. When did you first get into this hobby? Were you like a little kid like Steve?
Well, not. I was never told any stories by my parents in that regard, but my father, my family really wasn't into railroading. My dad was purchased a American Flyer set back when he was about 12, 13 years old. And that really sat in the case. And when it got handed down to me, and it was frail and in pieces. And when I started putting it together, I seen this thing going around in a circle, and that kind of just kind of intrigued me. And as I grew older, I've met more younger folks, my best friend, that is also into trains, and it just grew from there. Then you add in the case that after, so many years now, you have the digital world where I can now put coding on these things.
Yeah.
So it really has, that's what really grabbed my interest and keeps pulling me as well. Some of the things you see on our layout currently, working signals down to, when we're doing everything like a real railroad, that just blows me away that we could do that in HO scale.
It was something that, and I was going to ask you about that aspect of the hobby. George Sharp and Steve Wraith are our guests this morning from McKeesport Model Railroad Club, McKeesportModelRR.com, also on Facebook. They are open Saturdays and Sundays through the end of December. There's a rumor that a guy from the North Pole visits?
Absolutely, Santa. I'd have to take a look at the schedule off the top of my head. I don't know when he visits.
Yeah, it's the two weekends prior to Christmas. I'm not sure of the exact dates. Okay. We'll have to get those for you.
One or the other.
One of the, yes.
But if they go to the website, I'll bet it's up there.
Yes, it is.
On the Facebook page.
Yes.
And the hours are Saturdays and Sundays, 12:30 to 6:30.
That is correct, yes.
There is an admission donation requested, but my understanding is first responders and veterans and active duty military?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. They get in for free?
Absolutely, yes.
And what about scout groups?
Scout groups are the same. Any uniformed scout.
Okay.
Whether it's Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts that come here will also get in for free.
I still fit into my Girl Scout uniform. one thing that I know from having worked at these open houses, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am a member of the club, so this is a little bit of a busman's holiday or trainman's holiday for me, is people will ask, the layout is high. It is not a platform on the ground as you might have under a Christmas tree, for instance. It is eye level height or waist level height, I guess, for most people. Why is that?
Well, I mean, think about this. We open one time of the year for the kids to come in to take a look at things. Yeah, you got to put them on stools or hold them, but we're adults working on this layout, and this layout being at this height makes it a lot easier for us to A, enjoy the scenery that we put into place, and B, easier on our backs, because as I get older, I know it gets harder on my back to be working on the layout. So that's why the height is there and so forth.
Yeah, it's very common for people's home layouts to be at that height too. For anyone who builds layouts to the scale that we have here, that's very common to have it at eye level, and it's easier to work on for adults to work on. So being that we are a club and we are a private club, but we do open on special occasions like for the holidays or I should mention we also open on occasion. We've had for instance, some handicapped folks come through.
Ask, because the building you're in is almost as old as the club is, so it's not set up for wheelchairs and people.
Yes, it's not, but we do accommodate them at special times. We had a group come in last year, some folks who had some disabilities, and they come in as a bus group from their facility, and they had aides and people to help assist with them getting into the facility, but they basically have the facility to themselves, and we'll run the trains for them. That way, if they can't make it to one of our open houses, it'd be too crowded in here for them to be here. But we do sort of a community outreach, if you will, to different organizations. If they ask, we can accommodate them. It's usually at a later date when we know that we can get members in here to staff the layout in order to run it. But
so if they reach out through the website and they have a group that maybe, I was thinking it's almost a cliche, but everybody I know that has autism is into one of two hobbies. They're either into model trains or they're into ham radio or both. And then music on the side. It was along with that. So, but if you had a group that had disabilities that wanted to come in, they could reach out.
Through our website, and we would respond back to them and try to figure out a best date that they could come and visit. We've had offers from car clubs during the summer when they're out doing a cruise somewhere and they're looking for something interesting to stop and do and, make arrangements for them to stop in and see the layout. But year round, we're basically only open to our members. So those other opportunities to visit are by special request, and we try to work out a common date where we can accommodate people.
How does one join the club? What's the process? Is there a secret handshake?
Well, we do have that form available on our website as well for anybody. Yeah, and after that form is filled out, Steve actually handles our new members and so forth. He'll reach out, communicate, let them know, you know, when our meetings are, what the requirements are for getting started, and let them come in and you know, for a meeting. Or we even invite them to, in this case, if you're interested in becoming a member, come to our open house, check us out, talk to us, say, hey, I'm thinking about becoming a member. We do have to have a regular business meeting for that to occur. Sure. We don't have one in December due to how busy we are, but it gives them an opportunity to interview us and vice versa, interview you. Like, what are you interested in? What do you like to do?
We're talking this morning with George Sharp and Steve Wraith from the McKeesport Model Railroad Club, right on location from the McKeesport Model Railroad Club. This is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap
support
things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Back for final few minutes with Steve Wraith and George Sharp from the McKeesport Model Railroad Club. It is their 75th anniversary this year, and it's also time for their holiday open house on Saturdays and Sundays. They are at 2209 Walnut Street in the Christie Park section of McKeesport. That's Route 148. You guys have something going on with the Carnegie Library in McKeesport, because I just got a flyer.
Yes, we do. We have a semi-permanent layout at the Carnegie Library of McKeesport, and that's staffed by a couple of our retired guys who are able to go down there during the day. It's a smaller layout, but it's sort of just a display, but it's in there sort of as a outreach that maybe people or kids who are unable to come down here and visit us during the holidays or don't have some way of getting here. School children usually go through the library during the holidays.
Yeah.
And it was requested by us from the library to put if we had anything that we could put in there. So one of our members actually donated the layout that's in there. So it's not a real large layout, but it's enough. It's very well scenic, and it's got trains running on it. So it kind of brings some holiday cheer to people who might come in and otherwise might not get to see trains running during Christmas. So it's sort of our way of reaching out into the community more than just what we do here behind the scenes with our own large layout.
Lots of people are going to be taking those train sets out. And I know I've been here when people come down at the holidays and say, my train won't work. Can you tell me what's wrong with it? People take the train tracks and they snap them together. They get the snap together train track and they put it on the carpet. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, when you put it on the carpet, depending upon the scale of that particular train, if it's not one of the bigger scales, that could be a problem. Your smaller scales can pull those carpet fibers up and get them into their gear cases and really cause a lot of issues. Now, the biggest thing I see a lot of folks come and ask is, hey, I'm pulling this train that hasn't been pulled out for several years out of my attic and it doesn't run. Yeah. And that can, there's so
or
many different...
runs for a little while and goes, stop.
Exactly. And depending upon what you're working with and so forth. So, you know, those questions are great, but make sure you bring the details with them. Like, okay, this is what I have.
Yeah.
This is what we're looking at, because there's so many variables around that. It can be very difficult to diagnose.
If someone mentioned scale, and now the LGB trains, they say, are 124th, I think. And then the Lionel, I think they say, is generally 148th. And your club is HO, which is 187th. What does all this mumbo jumbo mean?
Well, that's just the different sizes of the equipment that you're using. And you were saying about G scale, or the large scale is G scale. That is a popular one for garden layouts, because you can put that stuff outside.
Yeah.
Then you have the O scale. That in the 1950s and so forth, that seemed to be a very popular scale because of how you could run those trains and you could beat those trains up pretty good. That there was no damage being done.
Yeah. All saw Gomez Adams. But the HO scale is 187. So theoretically, if you had the real thing, and you had the HO model, you would need 87 of them lined up in a row to be the same length, right?
Right. Yes. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Yep. That's more or less. And Steve alluded to this a few minutes ago. We're almost out of time, but the Monongah Valley Railroad. Steve, you mentioned that the club was in the Pennsylvania Railroad freight house. A lot of people, if you live in McKeesport, you see the CSX Railroad go by. You see the Norfolk Southern Railroad go by. On the way down here, I saw a Canadian National train going through McKeesport. I don't see any Monongah Valley Railroad going through McKeesport. What is this Monongah Valley Railroad of which you speak?
So it is a fictional railroad that was made up in the 50s by the original founders of the club. And the reason why they did that was because they would argue over which which railroad should we model?
Which one was the best?
And everyone had their own. Everybody had their own opinion. Right. So if you make up a name, then you can create your own world based off of that fictional name. However, we do actually have a real freight car. One freight car.
Where is it at?
And it is down on the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad down in Cumberland. And we just painted that this year, and it was kind of a started off as almost a joke, because I do graphic design for a living, and I do a lot of the graphics down there for on their equipment, on their locomotives and things. If you go down and ride the train in Cumberland, everything you visually see, I probably had something to do with down there. But we were joking one day that we should make a Manioc. We should paint something for Manioc Valley, because it doesn't exist. It's fictional. Uh-huh. Well, the director down there actually let us paint one of their coal hopper cars with Manioc Valley. So there is a real Manioc Valley car in existence in the 1-to-1 scale, which is probably the only one that we know of in existence, that where you took a fictitious little model train and made it real.
So usually people try to make the model train look like the real train. You made the real train look like the model train.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So it's kind of a unique little project that we had going on there.
Yeah. So if people go down to the Western Maryland Scenic in Cumberland, Maryland, which I think they do stuff at Christmas time.
Yes,
too,
right? They do.
Yeah,
yes,
they do.
Yes.
They can see the real Manioc Valley Railroad hopper.
Yes, it is a revenue in-service revenue car down there.
So they use
it most for maintenance down there, for hauling some of their ballast rock and coal for the steam engines gets hauled around in it. But it is actually in use down there.
Final thoughts: people come down Saturday and Sunday, 12:30 to 6:30 through the end of December. Mm-hmm. What kind of things should they look for? What kind of things will they like?
Our team is continuously busy improving and making better scenes, and also changing scenes or updating scenes. So look for those changes, because a lot of our visitors, wow, I didn't see that last year. That is so cool. How'd you do that? And that strikes up a great conversation. Come down and talk with us. We love to sit and talk with these folks. Come see us.
Us being here all the time, the way the members work on the layout, I'll walk by something I've walked by 100 times before, and it'll stop me in my tracks, and I'll look and go, where'd that come from? A lot of our layout, like I said, has a lot of, it's based in the 1950s, early 60s. So there's a lot of things that kind of jog people's memories. So it's always fun when people come down to visit and they're telling their grandchildren, like, oh yeah, I remember when we used to go shopping at this building. And they're talking about the layout as if it's a real place.
Yeah.
So there's things that people relate to locally that really kind of draws attention to the layout themselves. And then it takes them down a walk down memory lane. So it's really nice just to have that kind of connection, that see people have that connection with our layout that we have here.
So Saturdays and Sundays through the end of December, 12:30 to 6:30, 2209 Walnut Street in McKeesport. That's just a little bit south of the 15th Street Bridge, between 15th Street Bridge and Route 48. The McKeesport Model Railroad Club will be open. There is a donation requested at the door. You can find out more information at McKeesportModelRR.com or McKeesport Model Railroad Club on Facebook. George Sharp is the president. Steve Wraith is the vice president. I am a member. Thank you so much, guys, for taking some time right before the open house to sit down and talk with us about your 75th anniversary.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being here.
And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes broadcasting on location here on Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZOM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. So long for now. You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.